Thank you, Hazel and team. Hazel's already referred to the passage we'll be reading this morning. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. It'd be good, actually, if you had a copy in front of you. So if you haven't got a Bible of any form and you'd like one, please raise your hand and my beautiful assistant, or Quentin, will place one in it for you. And while he's doing that, did you see the Sunday Times Rich list that was put out in this last few days? Perhaps you're on it. Are you on it? Perhaps you're on it. Right, yeah, all right. Apparently, Brexit has had no effect on the Sunday Times Rich list, and one quote is that Britain's richest kept calm and carried on making billions. Anybody know who these are? Top of the list. Hinduja Brothers. Ask me what they're into. Everything. Man, it's incredible the things that they're into. 16.2 billion. And that's up 3.2 billion from last year. Difficult thing for them is they have to share it. Some new entries this year, probably people you recognise. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, just 110 million for playing football. Adele, 125 million for singing. She's good though, isn't she? She's good. I guess these folks aren't going to have to check, are they? Their bank account in the morning and find out there's not enough there. I wonder if you've been there. When the cheque bounces, or the card doesn't work, or your direct debit's not paid. I've got some good news. What if I was to tell you that there is another rich list, and you're on it? In fact, I'm on it. Sanguine. I'm sanguine. Happy on the inside, John, but thank you for that. So best I could do at short notice, you know. Yeah. Where am I? Oh, yeah. And such is your balance. Such is your bank balance. You'll never have to worry again. Wouldn't that? Isn't that? Isn't that? Great. Okay, now before you dash out to buy something, we're not talking money here. Okay, you knew that, didn't you? We're talking a different currency. We're talking blessings. And in your spiritual bank account, you're never in debit, you're always in credit, and that credit is always topped up, kept topped up. And that means, folks, that you can keep calm and keep enjoying your wealth. And all these things are found in this passage today. It's the second in our Transformed Life series. And the idea of this series, I mean, Transformed Life is a title, right? It's not just two words, okay, that, you know, sort of wash over us and in one ear and out the other and don't mean anything. The idea about this series, of course, is that it actually transforms our lives. And it's not my words that will transform your lives. It's God's word that will transform your lives. And this applies to all of us here today. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're before that sort of faith stage or searching in that faith stage or babies in that faith stage or you know, ancient in that faith stage, not looking at anybody here. These words apply to you today. These apply to me today. These words will and continue to transform our lives. There's a couple of things to say about the passage before we read it. In the original language, this is one sentence. Right, it's 11 verses or something other. It's one sentence. Paul, who wrote this, is like a small child, excited about what he's discovered, and runs into the kitchen and blurts it out. Mum, Everton are probably the best team in the world ever. They've got a new manager, they're about to get a new ground, they've got Romelu Lukaku. They're qualified for Europe and they've got... They only lost 1-0 yesterday to Swansea. They're the best ever! It's a bit like that. This passage is a bit like that, right? And bear in mind Paul's circumstances here. He's in prison as he writes this. In prison for his faith as he writes this. He's a threat to the Roman Empire because of his faith and the way he lives his life. Yet such is his spiritual bank balance. The second thing just to say is that you'll notice how many times this one phrase is repeated. And that's the basis of this bank balance, the basis of your bank balance. And these are two little words, in Christ or in him. To remind you, 11 times, did I say that? 11 times you'll find this phrase or, you know, tweaked in these verses. It's a reminder that all that we have is in him. Because of him. Because of what he's done. And it's by believing in him and putting our trust in him and inviting him into our hearts and giving our lives to him and being born again in him. You see, he in us and we in him, receiving all the benefits and blessings that he has won for us. So let's read these verses. Feel free to count the 11 in Christ, in him, the one he loves verses. But as we're doing it, also count your blessings as you read this passage. Start at verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. It's on page 1173 in the Church Bible. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's your bank balance. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who were God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So let's check out our bank statement. Bottom line, as I've said, and we'll see it at the end, our balance is verse 3. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Having a discussion with my granddaughter, she's 10 now, I think, about the difference between a few, several, and some. And which is greater and which is less. And you can confuse them, like, nobody's business. It's great fun, isn't it? You know, is few more than some? Is several more than a few? How many is a few? How many is several? I just go on and round in circles. But this isn't that, is it? This is every spiritual blessing in Christ. All the blessing that God has for us is found in Christ and is available for us. What are they? Well, we could spend weeks here. We've only got minutes, really. They're sort of labelled under past, present and future, but they all interweave to play a part in our lives now. So the first one is that I am chosen in Christ. for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You know, it's easier to describe the opposite of this, isn't it? You're in the playground and they're picking teams and you're not chosen first and often you're chosen last. And how does that make you feel? It's feelings of being unloved and unwanted and neglected. And it's easy to see how feelings like that can actually shape your life and make you sort of introverted and fearful and doubting all the time. But you see, in Christ, the opposite is true. You have been chosen. God loves you. We sang about that this morning. God wants you. God's chosen you for his team. You're the first name on the sheet. Each of us, all of us. And gobsmackingly, thigh-slappingly, he's had your name down on his team sheet since before the creation of the world. It's amazing. That's a while ago, by the way. It's in the past. When only he existed, he said among himself, I think we'll have, insert name, says here, insert name. I think I'll have Ian Furlong as part of my team. I think I'll have Callum Finch as part of my team. I have to find people I know the names of here. I think I'll have Sharon Hedges as part of my team. And so on. Insert your name here. And if that's not amazing enough, we'll make him and her holy and blameless, spotlessly clean, pristine condition. Let me hear you say, yeah. Okay. Now, you may be thinking here, but surely I chose God. Is anybody thinking that, maybe? Surely it's down to me. I choose God. And in fact, Scripture does teach that, doesn't it? If, you know, just to pick out a couple of verses, John chapter 1, verse 13 says, 12 even, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There's an emphasis there on us choosing him, believing on him. John 3:16, famous verse. Why am I looking it up? I've no idea, but just in case. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's true. You do have to play your part. We have to play our part. We have to choose God. But Scripture also says, and it says it here in Ephesians and it says it elsewhere, that he has chosen you. How does that work? Well, it's like a door in front of you. And you're looking at this door and you're thinking, should I go through that door or should I just stay here? And you sort of go towards it and you get hold of the handle and you know, maybe no one doing what I'm doing today. But you keep looking at this door and you think, well, maybe it's quite a nice door. And I wonder what's on the other side of that door. And in the end, you go through that door. You've made the decision to go through that door. And you know what's on the other side? There's a welcoming party. Welcome, Ian Furlong. Please take your seat at the table that's been laid for you. Do you see? God knew you were coming. He'd chosen you. He'd laid that table for you. You choose, but he's chosen you. And he did so before the creation of the world. Way, 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 way back when only he existed. It's amazing. By the way, verse 11 mentions that we've been chosen again. And the purpose there, as well as being holy and blameless in God's sight, is that we may be for the praise of his glory. You see, it's all about him. However much blessing we have, it's not just for us. It is for us. But actually, it's so that we can be to the praise of his glory. Must move on. Secondly, I am adopted in Christ. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. I think the modern version says adopted into sonship. This is not a sexist male-only thing here. This is about the rights of the firstborn son as it was in those days. But it includes all of us, male and female. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. This develops this first point, but it takes it further. See, my mum and dad had me. You know, I'm the product of a relationship that they enjoyed together. They had me, and they love me, and I know that that is true, and that's the natural pattern, I guess, isn't it? Parents have us and love us, and so the cycle goes on. But adopted children are different. They're special, because adopted children are chosen to be part of the family and loved accordingly. Do you get that? It's different, isn't it? Chosen first and loved. And listen, I know our parents aren't perfect. My parents weren't perfect. I'm not perfect as a parent. And love isn't always shown, is it? And sometimes it's abused in some families. But not so with our Heavenly Father. In love, he predestined us. Here's that thing before time again. To be adopted as his sons. Not only did he choose us, but he chose to adopt us as his children. With the full rights. One of the family. Like any other brother and sister that might have existed. And included in that is inheritance rights. See, we're not only a son or a daughter, but we're an heir of God and all his blessings, and we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, God's son, who is now our brother. It's amazing. Let me hear you say, yeah.
Yes.
Now, these two things are listed, aren't they, under past transactions here. Deposits, if you like, into your account by God. This is what God has done for us in the past, but they affect us today. They transform our lives today. This is a rock that we can stand on in the storms of life. So when we're feeling alone, when we're feeling unloved, when we're feeling unwanted, when doubts arise, when fears come with them, the suggestion is here that we check our bank balance, our spiritual bank balance. Chosen in Christ and adopted into the family of God because he loves us is a strong place to stand. Then there's a present benefit. I'm free and forgiven in Christ. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, I've never used one. But pawn shops, and that's with a W, pawn with a W, okay? Not shops with a W, pawn with a W, are thriving, it would appear, in our community today. You need some cash. You can pawn a valuable item and receive cash for it. And then when you want that back, when you've got some cash and a bit of interest, presumably, then you go back into the shop and you redeem that item. It's yours again. You freed it from the pawnbroker. So the picture here is that you and I are pawned to sin. We're born into sin. We're part of Adam's helpless race. But we're also complicit in sin. Every selfish choice that we make, every yielding to temptation that is ours, every deliberate sin that we choose to make, just deepens, doesn't it, sin's hold upon us. The Bible says we're a slave to sin. We've been pawned into the sin pawn shop. And there's a price on us that needs to be paid if we're to be free. And it's a price that we can never pay. Because the price on our lives is the blood of Christ. And you see, on the cross, Good Friday, he paid the price for our sin. So Paul's saying, in him, we have redemption through his blood. We're free from sin in him. The forgiveness of sins in him. And the present benefit of this, of course, is that, you know, there was no need for us to live in guilt or in shame or in condemnation. We're free and forgiven in Christ, and that lifts our lives. I try and think of the name of the film. I think it was The Witness. I might be wrong. It's a few years ago now. But this guy makes a journey up a mountain with a bag on his back to prove. I can't remember who he's proving it to. I don't think it was to God at this particular point. But just to prove a point to somebody. But, you know, when he got there, it didn't make any difference. Until somebody cut that bag off his back. And then he was free from the weight, the burden of it all. Martin Luther, reformer. Isn't it? How many years is it this year? It's a celebration, isn't it, of the Reformation this year? 400, is it? 500, yeah, I see. 500 years. Martin Luther, so racked with a real burden of being cut off from God because of the sin in his life, would climb up the steps of St. Peter's in Rome on his knees to show God just how much he loved him. And yet he got to the top, and still the burden was on him. It wasn't until he gave his life to Christ that that burden was lifted. It's his transformed life. Free and forgiven in Christ. And let me say it here. You'll notice that these things are not grudgingly given by God. My kids would queue up on a Saturday morning and say, "Dad, it's pocket money time." And very, very begrudgingly, I'd dig my hand into my pocket to give them their pennies, one by one, daring them to waste them and encouraging them to save them. Never worked. It's not like that with God again, is it? Notice all the phrases here. In accordance with his pleasure and will, he's freely given these things to us. The riches of his grace that he's lavished upon us. We have such a loving and gracious and generous Heavenly Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Past transactions, present benefits, and future gains. I have hope in Christ. Verses 9 to 10. He's made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Now, if after these local elections this week, if you're a Labour candidate or a UKIP candidate, you're probably not feeling too good about the general election, I suspect. There's not much hope, is there? Probably. I'm not being political, I hope, here at all. But if you're a Tory, and I'm not being political here either, you're probably pretty hopeful of a huge majority. You know, there's hope. Where does hope spring from? You watch the news. There's wars and potential wars and the potential nuclear wars and there's terrorism on our streets and it all seems pretty hopeless. Maybe your life at some level or other and circumstances in your life and you're thinking, whoa, how am I going to get through this? What am I going to do about that? What about this? Maybe you're feeling without hope. Well, count this blessing, because these verses let us in on a little secret. It's the mystery of history, that one day, that day, when times reach their fulfillment, all things will come together under one head, under one Lord, Jesus Christ. You see, things may be tough and hopeless now, and the immediate future may look grim, but the ultimate future is wonderful. All things will be united in Christ. All things will be renewed in him. And that's the hope we have. And I can hear you thinking, well, it's all right for Paul. You know, he hasn't got my bad back or my dodgy knees. He doesn't know my circumstances or my situation and the hopelessness of it. Doesn't he? Doesn't he? Doesn't he? Let me read you what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 onwards. He says this: I've worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked, and beside everything else, I've faced daily the pressure of my concerns for all the churches. Who is weak? And I don't feel weak with them. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. And here he is in prison, and yet he can write this: count your blessings in the Lord. You see, Paul's secret to look alone, Paul's secret is to look above earthly things for all that is his already in Christ. He checks his spiritual bank balance. And it's to have an eternal perspective on life. That one day he'll be renewed and live in the presence and glory of God Almighty in a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the hope we have in Christ. And finally, we are secure in Christ. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed in him, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I think there's a list out there somewhere, isn't there, of the 10 basic human needs. All of us have them. A need for affection, a need for affirmation, a need for belonging. And a few other ones beside, and security is right up there, one of the top 10 basic human needs. We need to know who we are. We need to know where we stand. We need to know where we fit in all the sort of situations we find ourselves in. We need to know that we're loved and wanted, and the security that that brings. So you see how all these blessings feed in to these human needs. And in these last two verses, Paul addresses our need for security. Did you notice that simple, by the way, verse 13, simple description of how we become in Christ, how we open our bank account for God to fill with blessings? Did you notice? It's dead simple. You were included in Christ, your bank account was opened when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. It's as simple as that, folks, to hear the truth of the gospel. You know what that is? God loves you. Always has, always will. It's unconditional. But we're sinners. And we turn from him. We walk away from him. We rebel against him. But he still loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to take the blame for that sin, so that we can turn back to him and know him as Father. Do you know, it's just so simple. We just need to give our lives to him. We need to be born again and have him come and live within us. And in that act, we open this spiritual bank account. We're in Christ. We believe and we receive. And when we believe in Christ, but by the Holy Spirit, Paul says, we're sealed. God puts his stamp upon us. It's like a hallmark on a valuable piece of jewellery, because that's what you are to God, a valuable piece of jewellery. And you're stamped with his hallmark. It's a sign of ownership, a sign of value, a sign of protection. We belong to God. He protects us, he cares for us, he journeys with us, he brings us home. And this same Holy Spirit living in us is a deposit. This God himself lives within us, and that's a deposit, a down payment, and as such a guarantee of our inheritance as heirs of God. You see, there's a certainty here. There's a security in life here. There's a blessing to add to all the others here, which gives a total balance every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let me hear you say something.
Yes.
Thanks, both of you. Now, you often hear of people, don't you, who live like paupers. Their house is uncared for, they shuffle down the street in the same old threadbare clothes and worn-out shoes. But when they die, you discover they're millionaires. You see, it's possible to be rich, but not to enjoy your wealth. And the same is true, spiritually speaking. See, all these things have been accredited to your account if you're in Christ. You are a billionaire in Christ. All these things are true for you today. That you were chosen in Christ, that you were adopted in Christ, that you're free and forgiven in Christ, that you have hope and security in Christ. But you can still live your life like a pauper, with worries and cares and fears and doubts and being negative and critical. Or you can live like the rich person that you are, standing on the rock of Christ, blessed to the gunnels with every spiritual blessing, and therefore living for the praise of his glory. This series we're doing has memory verses from time to time. This is today's, right? Just to say, by the way, our house groups on the whole are following this material, maybe not in exactly the same sequence as we're preaching it. So, you know, if you're in a small group, you'll be studying these things. And I think that applies to the kids outside as well, and not today. But the whole church is doing this, you know, so that our lives can be transformed. So if you're not part of a group and you want to be part of one, please ask and we can fix you up into a group. But here's the memory verse for today. This is something good to carry around with you for the rest of your life. So let's say it together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Pause. And again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Okay, let's do it again. Let's put emphasis on the word blessed. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's put the emphasis on every. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's do it again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen and hallelujah.